Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, Second Class, 12 February, 2023, Romans.
All right, if we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We have been noting the point six, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God demanded a virgin pregnancy and a virgin birth. While both the man and the woman are the carriers of the sin nature, only the man can transmit the old sin nature. The sin nature is transmitted from father to child. And therefore, in order for the incarnation of the Son of God to bypass the transmission of the sin nature and the imputation of Adam's sin resulting in spiritual death, the pregnancy of Mary had to be a virgin pregnancy. Mary was a virgin when she became pregnant, and this virgin pregnancy was accomplished by God the Holy Spirit, Matthew 1:18-24. So subpoint five. The virgin pregnancy resulted in the virgin birth of Christ. And without this, there would be no salvation. The virgin pregnancy resulted in the virgin birth of Christ. And without this, there would be no salvation. Jesus Christ would not be qualified. He would have been born in spiritual death, and therefore no Savior. Six, subpoint six, because of the virgin pregnancy and virgin birth, there is no genetically formed sin nature and no imputation of Adam's original sin to the humanity of Christ, and therefore no spiritual death at birth. Because of the virgin pregnancy and virgin birth, there is no genetically formed sin nature and no imputation of Adam's original sin to the humanity of Christ, and therefore no spiritual death at birth. Seven. Therefore, at physical birth, Jesus received only human life since he possessed no sin nature, no target, no home for the imputation of Adam's original sin. Therefore, at physical birth, Jesus received only human life since he possessed no target, no home, no sin nature for the imputation of Adam's original sin. Eight, Therefore, Christ was uniquely born. Because he had no sin nature. He was uniquely born. He was born physically alive and spiritually alive, indwelled and filled with the Spirit 100% of the time. Then lived a life on this earth totally free from personal sin, so that he was impeccable. If he commits one sin, he is disqualified. He's not qualified to be our Savior. So Christ was uniquely born, physically alive, spiritually alive, indwelled and filled with the Spirit 100% of the time. He had no sin nature. And since he had no sin nature, there was no home or target for the imputation of Adam's original sin. 9. Because of this, he was qualified to bear the sins of the world. Because of this, he was qualified to bear the sins of the world. Ten, Christ was born a facsimile of Adam before his fall. That is, he was trichotomous, body, soul, human, spirit. Christ was born a facsimile of Adam before his fall. And that is, he was trichotomous, body, soul, and human spirit. Eleven, just as Adam was created perfect, so Christ was born perfect. And therefore, one of the titles of our Lord Jesus Christ is the last Adam. And we have this throughout our great paragraph, Romans 5:13-17. The contrastive parallelism of Romans 5:13-17. So just as Adam was created perfect, so Christ was born perfect, and therefore he has the title the last Adam. 12. Our Lord was born the way Adam was created. Our Lord was born the way Adam was created. And throughout his short life, Christ lived the unique spiritual life. First one to ever have it. A unique spiritual life. Indwelt and filled with the Spirit 100% of the time. Without committing even one sin. 13. Therefore, he arrived at the cross perfect, impeccable, and qualified to receive the imputation of all the sins of the human race at the cross and to be judged for them. Therefore, he arrived at the cross perfect, impeccable, and qualified to receive the imputation of all the personal sins of the human race at the cross and be judged for them. That's real imputation number two. Real imputation number three. The real imputation of eternal life at salvation, the imputation of eternal life to the one who simply believes in Jesus Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Salvation is by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is, it's getting harder and harder to hear the grace gospel. And I'm talking about in fundamentalism. There are so many false gospels out, and yet they'll have the word, they'll talk about Jesus Christ. You'll hear things like that, and you will think, oh yeah, this is great. But it's not. It's a false gospel. Satan is a genius. He's the ruler of planet Earth. And what does he do? God has salvation by grace. A grace gospel. No works. You add one work, it's no longer grace. And there is no salvation. And so, the devil and his genius just takes truth of God's gospel and twists it. Just twists it. And many, many people never even see it. It was years ago that this Lordship salvation got started. California was overrun with Lordship salvation. It's a false gospel. It's a false gospel. Not one person will be in heaven if you try to follow it's salvation by works. Have you made Christ Lord of your life? Well, I don't think so. Well, then you're not saved. You're not saved. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Where is that in the Bible? If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you're entered into union with Christ, and he's the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. At the moment you believed in Christ, he's Lord of your life. Right at that second, he's Lord of your life. He will always be the Lord of your life, whether you recognize it or not. Because of the baptism of the Spirit. You placed your faith in Christ. God the Holy Spirit identified with you with Christ in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection. Retroactive positional truth, current positional truth. You're in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. He is your Lord, whether you realize it or not, ever come to know it or not. But Lordship salvation, you have to do works to demonstrate that he's Lord. But they talk about Jesus Christ. They go to church, have Bibles. But it's a false gospel. The real imputation of eternal life at salvation. One, the real imputation of eternal life is the result of faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And these people will say, you're not really saved. But you are. In their eyes, that you're not saved, but in God's eyes, you are saved. All right, turn over to the Gospel of John. John 3:16. Anybody know that one? You were kind of waffling on the 23rd Psalm. John 3:16. For God loved the world so much that he gave his uniquely born son. We just studied about the uniquely born birth of Christ. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What's the condition? Believe in him and have eternal life. Where does it say, and make him Lord of your life? Nowhere. Look at verse 36, John 3:36. He who believes in the Son and makes him Lord of your life. That's not there. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The one who simply believes in the Son, Jesus Christ, has eternal life. Turn over to John 20. John 20, verse 31. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Now this is all in the Gospel of John. Turn over to the Epistle of John, 1 John 5. 1 John 5. First John 5:13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in the person of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. And every one of these, what is the condition? Faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all work. For by grace you are saved through faith. A real imputation has two factors. What is imputed and the target or home for what is imputed. There is always affinity between the two in a real imputation. So subpoint two. Eternal life is imputed at salvation. Spiritual birth. This real imputation is a real imputation at spiritual birth. The first two were at physical birth. Human life imputed to the soul. Adam's original sin to the old sin nature. Those two real imputations occur at physical birth. This occurs at spiritual birth, regeneration. Eternal life is imputed at salvation. Three, the target is the human spirit, manufactured by the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation. God the Holy Spirit creates the human spirit at the moment you believed in Christ, and God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. The target is the human spirit manufactured by God the Holy Spirit, regeneration at the point of salvation. God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit. God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. Four, the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in manufacturing a home for eternal life is called regeneration. Regeneration, being born again, a new birth. The ministry of God the Holy Spirit in manufacturing a home, a target for eternal life, is called regeneration. Five. The human spirit is the permanent home for eternal life. The human spirit is the permanent home for eternal life. Six. Eternal life cannot be removed from the human spirit by God, angel, or man. Eternal life cannot be removed from the human spirit by God, angel, or man. And you can't lose your salvation. That would mean you lost eternal life. First of all, how stupid is that? Why call it eternal life if you lose it 2 minutes later? Well, we'll call it two-minute life. God gave you, some of you, two-minute life. Some of it would be two-second life. It's eternal life. So eternal life cannot be removed from the human spirit by God, angel, or man. Just as the human soul is the permanent residence for human life, so the human spirit is the permanent residence for eternal life. Seven. At physical birth, human life is imputed to the soul, while at spiritual birth, regeneration, eternal life, is imputed to the human spirit. At physical birth, human life is imputed to the soul, while at spiritual birth, regeneration, eternal life, is imputed to the human spirit. This is real imputation number three. So we have had two real imputations at physical birth. We're born physically alive and spiritually dead. And then this real imputation at salvation through regeneration. The imputation of eternal life to the human spirit. Then you add to that the real imputation. This is coming up in real imputation number four. Real imputation of greater grace, blessings, and spiritual maturity prepares the way for the eternal glorification of God through the imputation of eternal reward and blessing at the judgment seat of Christ. You see, this is all part of God's plan, designed for you to honor and glorify Him forever and ever and ever. So real imputation number four, the real imputation of greater grace blessings in time at spiritual maturity. The real imputation of greater grace blessings in time at spiritual maturity. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 2:9. 1 Corinthians 2:9. First Corinthians 2, verse 9. However, as it is written, Isaiah 64:4, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who make Christ Lord of their life. For those who love Him. What's that? Virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. What is the ultimate objective that God has for your life in the short time while we're here? His ultimate objective is to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all, and occupation with Jesus Christ. And when you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, well, greater grace blessings in time. And it's described here. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Now turn over to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to Him, God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than all we could ever ask or imagine. Now, I have a great imagination. To Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than all we could ever ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Greater grace blessing. Turn back to Proverbs. Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8. The personification of wisdom. What is wisdom? The word of God that you've learned and believed and is in your heart. It's one thing to hear the word of God, it's another thing to believe it. When you believe it, it's transferred to your heart, and now it's wisdom. Sophia in the Greek, chokma in the Hebrew. Now it's truth that you have learned and believed and can apply to your life. And when you get maximum wisdom in your heart, you've attained spiritual maturity. You have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. You've completed the ultimate objective. Now, we have the personification of wisdom here. It says in verse 10, choose my instruction instead of silver. Knowledge, Bible doctrine, rather than choice gold. For wisdom, metabolized doctrine in the heart, is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Verse 17, I love those who love me. This is Bible doctrine, the Word of God. And those who seek me, find me. And with me are riches and honor. This is blessings in time, greater grace blessings in time. And then enduring wealth and prosperity. This is blessings for all eternity. When you reach spiritual maturity, God imputes greater grace blessings to you. Here in time, right in the middle of the devil's world, and at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, that'll be parlayed into greater grace blessings, crowns and rewards given to you that will glorify God. Not you, that will glorify God forever and ever and ever. And this is what it means to live your life in the light of eternity. And I hope each one of you are living your life in the light of eternity. That you might glorify God forever and ever and ever. You know, I see some of you make decisions, and you know what? Your God is a little tiny, puny God that can't do anything. I feel sorry for you. Because the living and true God is so great, nobody can even understand how great He is. How big He is. How powerful He is. But your opinion of God? Well, He's just a little tiny thing. He can't do anything. Well, I feel sorry for you. Because the living and true God is a big God, a powerful God. And if you have the guts enough to choose for Him, why, you'll see Him provide for you in every area of your life. If you have the guts enough to put your faith in Him, stop your complaining and all that's going on and what's going on in America and this and that. Our God is a big God. Creator of the universe, holding it together. And you don't think He can't provide for you in little tiny details? You ought to know better. But we'll pick it up at this point next week. Father, we thank You for Your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our life, for we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.